Madison, Minnesota, I guess. First off, tell us a bit about where Madison is.
Madison is in western Minnesota, straight west of Minneapolis and St. Paul, approximately 3 hours, about 10, 15 miles from South Dakota border.
Talk about the operation.
I've got about a 400-acre operation. We do row crops of corn, soybeans, and small grains, oats, barley, wheat, flax. We won't grow all of these every year, but in our organic rotation, we'll grow them depending on the fields, the markets, and whatever looks like it's promising for that year. And we also have alfalfa in that rotation.
Now, where do you market?
We market through, I have what I call a marketing agent. And it's a person who takes all of my inventory and finds the buyers. But it's part of a larger group of organic co-ops in the Midwest, known by the acronym OFARM, Organic Farmers Agency for Relationship Marketing. And it's made up of six co-ops, each having their own marketing person. And they collaborate among themselves, and then they go and find the markets for us.
Where do most of your products go then?
Most of my products will go as organic feed to dairies and poultry. But I do grow some organic soybean seed for a Blue River hybrids.
Okay. Talk a bit about your management. How exactly, what do you put on the crops? How do you fertilize, pest control, etc.?
Right. The biggest piece of the management is the rotation with small grains and perennials like alfalfa and then row crops. That supplies the basic foundation for weed management. Mm-hmm. And then it's mechanical weed management, cultivation, late planting, tine weeding, things like that. And then I also have a fertility system it's actually a two-pronged fertility system using legume cover crops underseeded in the small grains. And then I do have a working arrangement with a neighboring conventional hog operation, and he and I worked out an arrangement for using his hog manures on my farm.
Now, when you use the cover crop, the legume cover crop, does that exist for a couple of years, or you plow that down then?
The cover crop will be used just for that year, and then it's what they call the green manure plow down. But the alfalfa in the rotation really helps because it's a 2 or 3 year alfalfa, and we can really enhance in a positive way the soil structure, and it really helps to lower the weed seed bank in the fields.
And what about insect control?
Insect control was never a problem for me up until about 7 to 8 years ago when the soybean aphid came on the scene. And right now, all I can really do with the soybean aphid is keep my fingers crossed that they don't get too bad. I've been working with people at the university, and we've been trying different products, experimenting in different things, but we haven't come up with any magic bullet, you might say. But we are seeing a little bit of an increase in some of the beneficial insects, some of the beneficial predators. The university has done some work on releasing some additional predators, and it's a slow process, but maybe we'll be able to overcome that in time.
Are you looking at building a habitat for the predators on your farm then as well?
I do build somewhat of a limited habitat in the sense that I use buffer and border strips around the fields to provide that habitat for sure. But other than that, not a whole lot of buffer construction or habitat construction.
So how'd you get into organic?
How I got into organic is an interesting question. You know, obviously, I get the question oftentimes. I have to always tell the story of when I was a child growing up, 6, 8, 10 years old. My father would get this magazine from Rodale called Organic Gardening and Farming. I would see that laying on the table and looking at it and hear them, my parents talking a little bit about it. But the other more visible hands-on experience was that growing up on the farm, we had the garden would never get sprayed. And we had a little wheat grinder that we'd grind the wheat, and then my mother would bake bread. And my dad would always flag out an acre of the wheat field that never got sprayed. And you talk about subtle messages that come through to an 8 or 10-year-old. You know, that sort of sticks with you. You don't realize it. But then after teaching high school for 7, 8 years, I had an opportunity, well, I made a decision to go farming, and those things started coming back to me, the memory of those years, and I decided I'm going to give it a try. And so I think I was first certified, if you wanted to call that, certified organic in 1976.
You've been doing this a while.
Right. A couple of years, for sure. And it's been an evolution, an evolving process, a learning by mistakes and figuring things out, for sure.
So what's been the greatest innovation in organic production in the years you've been doing it?
The greatest innovation? I've never thought of that before. The first thing that jumps into my mind is the rotation thing in organics, because we always talk about that. I'm not sure, because in my operation I use a lot of the conventional mechanics equipment. I've got GPS on my tractor, auto steer, all those kinds of things. And maybe when I think about it, I don't know if we'd call it an innovation, but the greatest change has been taking organics where it was in the 70s and making it kitchen table talk. Taking the organic concept and making it totally acceptable to the public.
Getting the message out.
Getting the message out, and then the acceptance of that message. I think that would be the biggest change that I've seen. Because in the 1970s, you said organic and said, what's that? And then in the 80s, organic, oh, yeah, he's one of those organic farmers. And they were always looking for the long hair and, you know.
You don't have a ponytail, by the way.
Okay, right, exactly. And so that evolution to when, you know, I think things like the LR scare and the grape scare and those types of things in the 80s really precipitated organics coming to the forefront. But then I think that drove the USDA to look at it more. And then I think the real turning point was the Organic Act of 1992 that said, yes, we will now recognize organics and we will set up the standards. And that, of course, evolved to where the standards were finally accepted in 2002.
Are the standards, are they acceptable where they are, or would you like to see them more refined?
I'm pretty satisfied with them from a grain producer's perspective. I certainly can't speak to vegetable producers or even livestock, because I don't have any either of those. But from a grain producer's perspective, they're quite reasonable. It's always what I call a hassle factor, doing the paperwork and things of that nature. But I like to keep it that way, because I think it serves a purpose of maintaining a lot of the integrity of organics.
The big question has always been, we're going to have 9.5 billion people on the surface of the earth by 2050. Can we feed them organically?
And my unequivocal answer is yes, we can, provided we can ratchet up and take a significant percentage of the research dollars that are already devoted to agriculture, dedicate those to organic systems. If we can do that, we can much better fine-tune our whole organic system. I know on my farm, if I have adequate fertility and the equipment that I need, I can compete bushel for bushel with my conventional neighbors. So that would tell me that we can do it. We're not there, simply because we haven't had the long-term experience, and we have for sure not had the dollars to do the research that's necessary.
Are you seeing some good improvements in the hybrids that are available to you?
There are some improvements. In fact, I mentioned earlier a company like Blue River. Mm-hmm. There are some other companies that are improving their hybrids. And we do have the option that if we can't find the hybrids that fit our geographic area, we can use untreated conventional seed. So we do have that option. But, no, those varieties are coming. And in we have actually the same varieties when it comes to the small grains that the conventional producer would have. It's just that those varieties are grown under organic conditions. My soybeans that I grow, they're organic seed, because I'm growing them under organic conditions. So I'm getting that genetics and just duplicating the product is all.
So what's your message when you do speak to a group like this?
Well, my message today was my concern about how we can get more farmers back on the land, how it's going to take a concerted joint effort. I'm concerned about organics becoming too industrialized. It was never meant to be industrialized, but we always think that bigger is better and we got to do it faster and faster. I always like to use the model that we had in the 1950s where all these small rural towns had great creameries. Now we say we can't go back to it. No, we can't. But that's the model, and let's take that model and put it to the 21st century. So we had the two or three farms per section. They were putting the products into the local communities. We have a much more efficient transportation system nowadays. We could enhance our whole rail system, these things. But use that model and bring it into the 21st century. The model's basics piece is that we can have viable two and three viable farms on a section of land, say, in western Minnesota. And we've got the infrastructure. We've got the ability to do it.
How do we sell America on that concept?
I think we have to get over the idea that food is cheap. We have to begin to realize that if we want a robust, healthy food system and a robust economy and a robust social system, we need to pay the price. And that money has to be generated and started in the local rural communities.
Revitalize small-town America.
Revitalize small-town America is the best way to say it.